So Exodus chapter 3, starting from verse 1 all the way to verse 22. I'm going to just have you turn to it, and I want to start off by asking a question so we can kind of frame our minds with this idea of embarking, which means simply to start or to journey, or to usually it's used in the context of a boat or a ship where they're moving forward. And I wanted to ask this question: when was the last time you were pleasantly surprised by an unexpected event? Let me ask that question again. When was the last time that you were pleasantly surprised by an unexpected event? I think oftentimes we associate unexpected events with something that's negative. If you think about your own life, if you think about different things that happened in 2016, when those things were not planned and they were very unexpected, they blindsided you. Things relationally, maybe circumstantially, things going on in your home that you would not wish for anyone else to go through, but you went through that. And who knows, if you thought about it in 2016 when we started off in January and we said, these are the things that are going to happen in your life and within this 1 year, I think for us, we'll be better prepared. We'll know that we'll face maybe some of these tragedies. Maybe we'll know that there's going to be hardships, specific ones that will come towards our life. But a lot of times these are unexpected. And so when you think about that, how do we feel as we start off in 2017 with some of the excitement of starting something new, but only to experience a setback due to some kind of event that will happen this year? How about when we have certain goals that we want to achieve? Some of you have already maybe made some resolutions for this coming year. But then we go through things in our lives this coming year, 2017, that are beyond our control. And we start losing our purpose and our passion for that very thing that we have set out to do. You know, as we just think about how many of us, we start off anything that's new with these great expectations. I was thinking about some of you students starting off this new year back in September 2016. Just excitement of starting a whole new year. And then midway through, when the midterms are coming up, you realize this is hopeless and you give up. This is how it's going to be when we start second semester, the start of a new semester. It's going to be exciting, but somewhere along the line, we're going to lose some of that focus. For some of us, it might be that excitement when we came, we got a new job. But once again, because of relationship with our coworkers, maybe some situations that you cannot really control, things that are above you with your manager and your boss, then once again, we lose that sense of calling and why God brought us to Hong Kong. I think regardless of how we started off, unexpected events can derail us and cause us to lose that purpose in life. And I think in many ways, when we experience unexpected events, I don't want to say all, but I would say a good portion of it, it's a good thing. Because I think more than anything else, regardless of how you evaluate the situation, it humbles us. It makes us more dependent on God. I wanted to just show this video that I think is a really interesting story about this woman who actually went through something on one day that was totally unexpected. And it really had a profound impact on her life. I need to kind of explain a little bit about this person. Her name is Chelsea, and she works at a restaurant. And because some of us are from Asia, you don't know the culture in the States, but in the States, there's something called tipping. Tipping is when you give a certain percentage, and usually right now, I would say it's probably anywhere from 17 or 18% or 20% of the bill. It's very similar to what we have here in Asia, a service charge, and they only charge like 10% of the bill. But in the United States, it's more, they don't force it upon you unless you're like a party of 8 or 10, but it's more like whatever you feel that you want to give. And a lot of times, I won't tell which group of people, but many people who are from certain countries and areas in life where there is no tipping, they have a bad reputation of going to these restaurants in America and not tipping. But I need to kind of share a little bit about that so you know kind of what she was going through at this restaurant. And I want you to just kind of follow her story and what the surprise that these people brought for her. And I want us to kind of think about it in the context of what I shared earlier. When unexpected things happen in our lives, how do we respond? So let's watch this together. What a great story. You know, I'm wondering how many of us would have responded when things like that unexpectedly happened to us. Some of you are like, please let it happen tomorrow. And as I was thinking about that, can you imagine just how overwhelmed she felt? And I think in many ways God works in the same manner. There are so many things that he's orchestrating right now in your life. It might not be a new car. It might not be your dream job, but he is orchestrating things in your life so that you will realize that he's doing everything for his glory and for our good. You know, today as we start off this new year, I want to talk about what we need to experience so that we can set out and embark on this journey that God has for us in this coming year, 2017. So let me give us the one thing. The one thing is simply this, that for a breakthrough, we have to trust God with what we go through. For a breakthrough in our lives, we have to trust God with what we go through. There are two specific things I'm going to talk about as we look into the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Two things that we must remember about trusting God with what we go through in order to experience this breakthrough in our lives. The first point is simply this, that we have to have an encounter with God. I want to talk about our encounter with God. Let's go ahead and read, starting from verse 1. I'm going to read the first three verses, and then we're going to kind of try to talk about it, and then we're just going to take it verse by verse. Some of you who are familiar with the story, I hope that you can look at it with a fresh lens about how we are embarking in this whole new journey that God has called us in 2017. It's about the story of Moses and the burning bush. Listen to what it says. When Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Let's pause here and look at these first three verses. I need to kind of help set up the story a little bit so you understand what's going on. As we start chapter 3, we notice Moses, who was once in Pharaoh's court for about almost 40 years of his life. But he, if you remember, we talked about this this past year, about how he literally gave all that up to be an heir, to be a part of this royalty. He gave it all up to follow God. And we notice that the story behind the reason why he left is found in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. You will notice that Moses ends up killing an Egyptian. And because someone saw him, out of the shame and the guilt, as he already decided that he's going to identify with the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, he decided to flee. So you have to imagine, so the next 40 years of his life, now he's almost 80 years old, here he is, when we read the story in chapter 3, he is a shepherd tending the flocks of his father-in-law. A place that is totally different from being in royalty in a palace. Now he is in the field as a shepherd. You know, I think it's really interesting to note that there are so many people, as we think about the start of the story, that there are so many people in this world that run away from situations and conflict. You know, I think about some of us in this room, and I think about the Asian culture. I think for many of us, it is always easier to run away and to avoid conflict. Whether it's to save face for yourself or for that other person, or whether you just don't want to deal with that situation in your life. And all I can say to you is this, no matter how much you try to run away from, that will never leave you, because you cannot run away from yourself. A lot of the issues and the conflicts that you have is rooted within your character. It's not just the circumstances. So you could run away, you could move to a different city, you can hang out with different groups of people, you could try to avoid certain things, but you cannot run away from yourself. And so we see here is Moses trying to deal with his guilt and shame. So he runs away. So for 40 years, he's shepherding. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about it was in this situation, in this moment, that God decides to encounter Moses through a burning bush. Let's continue on in the story as we read, starting from verse 4 now, all the way to verse 10. It says this, "When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, 'Moses, Moses,' he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground.' And he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.'" Let's go ahead and just pause here for a second. You know, as we're continuing the story, as he's shepherding for 40 years now after running away from Egypt, you will notice several things about Moses' encounter with God. The first thing that I want to highlight is that it was very intimate. It was an intimate encounter with God. If you look at verse 4 again, God calls out to Moses by name from this burning bush. You know, one of the most powerful things that anybody can ever come to that realization is that God of the universe knows us intimately and closely. He knows us by name. In fact, Jesus says in the Gospels that he even knows the number of hairs that are on our heads. He knows when we lie down, when we rise. He knows where we're going. He knows our dreams, our aspirations. He knows even our fears and some of the things that we struggle with. He knows some of our secrets that no one else knows, but only we keep to ourselves. He knows us so intimately and so well. So he's able to call out to Moses in that way. Can you imagine? Here you are, away from this plush, royal kind of life. You know in your heart you killed this person, and only one person knows, so you decide to run away. Can you imagine? It was in that moment, as he was just doing his ordinary thing of tending the sheep, that God calls him out by name. I'm wondering if this year, as we start off in 2017, if he's actually calling out to some of you, because there are things that he wants to do in your life. Maybe there are things that you haven't even thought about and imagined that God is preparing, he's orchestrating, and he's trying to speak to you. If we would only take the time to listen. It's very significant that God called Moses from a burning bush. Because for the Jewish people, the concept of a fire indicated God's presence and his power. You'll see this all throughout the Bible. Whenever there's fire, any form of fire, anything that consumes, it talks about God's presence and his power. So here's God. In his presence and in his power, he calls out to Moses. How intimate is that? You will also notice in verse 5, as we read, God tells Moses not to come near, to take off his sandals, because where he is right now is holy ground. That's where wherever God's presence is, something doesn't just become holy. But where God's presence dwells, that place is holy. That's why it's kind of interesting, because he says, take off your sandals. Anytime someone takes off their sandals, it is in the context of worship. So it's almost as if God, in his intimate way, calls out his name, Moses, Moses. And then he sees this fire, this burning bush, and he realized quickly, this is the very presence of God. The power of God is here. And he says, he can't even look at this sight because he knows God is there. And he says, take off your sandals, for where you are is holy ground. So he takes it off to worship this God. Then in verse 6, we see Moses ends up hiding his face because he was afraid. And this is the part I want us to kind of think about as believers and some parallels we can draw, but also some contrasts. You know, for us as Christ followers, I was just thinking, what would happen if for us, we come into any worship environment, whether it's on Sunday, life group, and let's say the night before or even the day of, you sin like crazy. And I realize for many of us, we operate kind of like the Old Testament mindset where we come and we realize, like, we're not worthy. I mean, no one is worthy to come and worship this holy God. But we come and we have the sense of fear, and you could just tell on people's faces. You know, when things are going well, when we're walking with God, it shows in your face. When you're not doing well, maybe there are things that are going on, there's conflicts in your life, it just shows. And we're called to come in and to worship. And I'm wondering how many of us, we come into those kind of situations and it's difficult to worship. It's difficult for us to even fellowship with people around us, because that's the last thing we want to do, because our heart is not there. But the beautiful thing about Christianity is that it's not based on what kind of life you lived 2 hours before or a day before. But we could actually come, and this is the part I want to challenge us when it comes to worship for this coming year, is that when we come, don't just come flippantly, but come and renew your mind with the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done. We are now able to approach this holy God because of Jesus Christ. Can I get a good amen? We see this in scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Listen to what it says. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Everyone say that. Because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. What a great reminder for us. And here's God speaking to us, and he's calling out to our names. And we see the very presence of God. We feel the presence of God. And we realize for many of us, we still operate, God, don't talk to me. God, I don't think you want to kind of interact with me right now because of all the stuff that's going on. This is where we need faith. Not trusting in your good works. That's what I'm saying. And over again, I'm going to keep on preaching this, because until we get this in our mind, because we've been raised up, when you do something good, you're applauded. When you do something bad, you're punished. And God literally changed that system that says, even though you are good, you still cannot reach up to me. And even when you do something bad, I can still forgive you. It totally goes against what's natural to us. That's why when we come to God, we can come to him boldly. And we worship him. That's why Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14 says it in a different way. In the New International Version, it says this: let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Listen to how the Message translation translates Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. So let us walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. And I'll kind of share it this way. Maybe this will help us. I've experienced this all my life, as long as I can remember being a pastor. I realize that people who avoid me, like, something's wrong in their life. I mean, this might sound really stupid. Maybe you just hate me. I don't know. Maybe you don't want to talk to me. Because I realized something over the years, because I started looking at my own heart, is that whenever there are people that represent something or someone, or when you're in a context of someone who maybe is trying to do something that you just feel really uncomfortable with, that is the last person you want to say hi to and you want to talk to. And I'm sharing this not because I'm a holy guy, but I'm sharing this because I represent, as a pastor of this church, something connected to God. And that's why I realized that when we are not doing well, we cannot just go right up to that person and say, hey, how are you doing? Because whether we are fearful, whether we think that all our sins will be exposed, whatever the case may be. And I'm sharing this because I really want us to think about this when it comes to our relationship with Christ. Because this is what we do when it comes to Christ. And that's why so many of us in our walk with God, it's not deep. It's so shallow. Only when things are going well, we're going to trust in Him. But when things are hard or when we're struggling, we don't want God or we want to avoid God. This will break the intimacy that God wants to give unto you and for us to experience. Listen to something else here that we see about this encounter that Moses has with God. Not only was it intimate, as God calls out to His name and approaches Him in worship, but you will notice the second thing is that it was very instructive. There's instructions that were given. In verse 7 through 10, God makes it clear that He heard the cries of His people and He's going to deliver them into the good land. This idea of land flowing with milk and honey, it's a metaphorical phrase for just prosperity. This land is going to be very prosperous, where you can plant things and there will be fruit and there will be things that you can eat off. So this idea that it's going to be a very prosperous and bountiful land, He's going to deliver them into this land. You will notice earlier in chapter 2, verse 23 through 25, it says that the people were actually crying out to God. Listen to verse 25 of chapter 2 in the New Living Translation. He looked down on the Israelites and felt deep concern for their welfare. You know, this is something that I really believe for us that we need to try to tune into God. Because there are times when God, He is orchestrating things. He is doing things in your life that you might not even know. But His heart is for His people. And therefore, there will be times when God will speak to you about a specific situation or a specific need or even a specific person or group of people that He wants you to do something and minister unto them. I want you to just pause and think about that for a second. So here's Moses running away, been a shepherd for 40 years, and within that time, God was waiting. And He decides to appear to Moses in a burning bush. And in that whole process, here's God now laying down what He wants Moses to do. You're going to go and I've heard the cry of my people, and you're going to go and deliver them into this good land. In verse 10, God specifically tells Moses that He's going to Pharaoh. You know, knowing that this is going to happen, it's a good reminder why Moses needed to encounter God in a powerful way. You know, I was just thinking about all the things that God has called me to do, all the things that God has called our church, our churches, even in our HMCC family to do. You know, there's no way humanly possible that one single person or even a small group of people can do it. I already laid out some of the vision that God has for us, especially during Missions Month. We were talking about that. There's no way that our church alone or even a small group of people by ourselves, we're going to be able to do what God has called us to do. And that's why there's a greater hunger, as we talked about even in the announcements about the One Desire Fast. I'm challenging you to really commit yourself to encountering God, to be in His presence, to hear from Him, because I believe that He's going to actually speak and He's going to drop something into your heart that's going to be connected to His people. Something that's breaking His heart. Something that's not being done. A place where the gospel is not being preached. A place where God is raising you up so that you can continue to build up and to do the things that God has called us to do here in this church. I'm wondering how many of us and how often we have tried to do things without hearing God's voice. As we are intimate with God, then we're able to hear His instructions for the next steps. I love what Blaise Pascal in his book, Pensée, he wrote, and he said this. He says, Jesus Christ is the end of all and the center to which all tends. Whoever knows Him knows the reason of everything. It all starts with knowing God. The more you get to know God, the more you encounter Him, the more you're going to know why you're here on this earth, the more you're going to understand your purpose in life, the more you're going to be able to make sense of the things that you're going through in your life. You might not know it right now, but God's going to slowly reveal it to you. And as He reveals it, you realize, oh, that's why I went through what I went through. Oh, this is why that hardship, that pain in my life, God had a plan for even something like this. And even when people sinned against me, He's using it so that I could reach out to those people in need. As we think about our breakthrough this coming year, we have to make space in our lives to spend time with God so we can encounter Him. I don't know what He's calling you to embark in. I don't know what He's calling you to do. But without encountering God, without hearing His voice, without that intimate moment with Him, without hearing His instructions, it's going to be all you. It's going to be us trying to do something, but it has to be God. How about us? When you think about 2016, did you daily spend time with the Lord? You know what the sad fact is? I think some of us spend daily time with Facebook rather than the great book, the big book, the Bible. Let's be honest. Some of us, we have finger pains because we're scrolling down all the Instagram pictures. That's the first thing that you do. Now, please, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's wrong. Oh, I'm going to deactivate my Facebook account and my Instagram, my Twitter, because Pastor says that it's bad. No. There's nothing wrong with social media. But my challenge to you is this. When you think back to 2016, how often have you turned to these things before turning to even the Bible? And you guys know the studies already. Those of you who check Facebook and Instagram all the time, you get more depressed. You know that, right? Some of you are like, I'm so depressed. I'll tell you why. Because you're looking at the social media and all the things that people are eating and all the places they're going. You're like, my life stinks. So I want to challenge us. This coming year, are we committed to reading the Word of God, being in His presence? I'm wondering if we have confidence when we approach God. Do we approach Him boldly? Like literally just step right in. I'm wondering as we start off this year, what are some things God has been speaking to you about? That maybe you're afraid to step out in faith. Maybe some of us are being disobedient because God has already spoken to us in so many ways, but we're still wrestling with ourselves and our self-centered hearts. That's why we have to encounter God. The second and last point is this, is that not only our encounter of God, but we will know as we talk about the breakthrough, and then through it we trust in God, is that we have to talk about our expectation of God. I think the greatest thing, one of the greatest things that causes so much pain in a person's life is expectations. It's one of those double-edged swords. With no expectation, then your life just kind of seems as if you're not trusting in God, or you don't have faith in God, or you just go through the motions. But when you have unrealistic expectations, then what that simply will do to you is you're going to get very disappointed and leave you jaded and disillusioned. And many of us will then start giving up. This is our generation. We don't have the grit. We don't have that hunger. We don't have that desire. We don't see failure as a good thing. And many of us, our expectations are in place in such a way that it is setting us up for disappointment. Now, if you said you're going to run every single day this year, you better stop, because you're not. You're going to get disappointed. Oh, I'm going to read the Bible 3 hours every single day. You're going to get disappointed. I'm telling you right now, those are bad expectations. Just think about some of the things that you want to see happen in 2017. Some of you who came to Hong Kong, or some of you who left Hong Kong for studies, work, and then now you're back. Without even knowing you, I will tell you the degree of your expectations and how it was not met is that degree in which you're sad, disappointed, and angry. You talk to any married couples, they'll tell you the same thing. When they have certain kind of expectations and it's not met, that's the level of pain in their marriage. That's the same with friendship. That's the same with your future. And that's why I want to challenge us as we think about embarking in this new year and the things that God is calling us to do. Not only do we have to really encounter God this year, but we really need to base our expectations on who God is. That might mean for some of us, we might have to increase our expectation because our view of God is so small. So you need to repent of your lack of faith, and you need to ask God to increase your faith. Some of you, you think it's faith, you have these big dreams, but it's really self-centered. Some of you in this room, you have all these things that you want to do, but it's not what God wants you to do. It's your own dreams, your own plans. And I'm going to tell you right now, that expectation of what you think you're going to be doing, if it's not from the will of God, and the will of God is here, this is the disappointment that you're going to feel. Let me put it in very simple terms. And I can say this in a group like this. If someone came up to you and told you 2017 is the year that you're going to get married, I just feel it. So for some of us, we're going to start doubting a little bit, like, oh, man, I don't know. But then let's say that they have some insider information that this might be the year. So then your excitement starts elevating a little bit and your expectation goes up a little bit. Can you imagine if it doesn't happen this year? Think about it. And I'm challenging us with this because I think so many of us don't experience the breakthrough in our lives because we're not fully trusting in God, but we're trusting in ourselves. What are your expectations? Is it rooted in God's word? Is it consistent with God's character? Has anybody exposed your heart or challenged you about some of those things that you want to do? Some of us where you know that God is speaking to you about certain things, but you still are relenting and not doing. You're being disobedient. Maybe what God needs to do is he needs to work on you, bring a burning bush in front of you, and to help you to expand your expectation. Because some of us, we don't want to have any expectations, so we're tired of getting hurt. You close off your heart. And maybe what God is trying to do is open your heart so that you can see who he is, not who you are, but who he is. And that's why I think it's interesting as the story progresses, that's exactly what Moses had to deal with and go through, were these expectations of himself. That's why let's continue starting from reading from verse 11 all the way through verse 15. Listen to what it says. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Let's look at this portion of scripture as we think about our expectations of God. After receiving the instruction that you're going to go and go to Pharaoh and deliver my people and bring them into this promised land, the first thing that Moses does is what? He falls down and worships and says, "God, yes, Lord." No, he does not do that. If you look at the story, the first thing that he does is what? He objects. I was thinking about myself, and if I was Moses and I heard something like this, I think Moses was probably shocked by God's words, and I think it was very hard for him to believe. I want us to really put ourselves in this situation as best as possible, because as we're talking about embarking in this new year, if God told you that you're going to be doing X, Y, and Z, how many of us will say, "Yes, Lord"? If God says, "I want you to marry that person," you're going to be like, "No, Lord, please, that is not the right person." I want you to quit your job and I want you to move into this direction. I want you to rearrange and prioritize your time so that you can invest more in the church and not in these other things. I want you to make room this coming year, even in your budget, to give, not just 10%, but to give generously, not only to the church, but to people around you, to give. Give anonymously so your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. What if he calls you to do something that is not what you're majoring in right now? I want to challenge us. He might even tell you to leave Hong Kong. Huh. Worse, he might even call you to stay in Hong Kong. How would you respond? I know how I'll respond, but Lord, that's why in verse 11, Moses said, who am I that I should? The Message translation of verse 11 says this, but why me? What makes you think that I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? And this is what I want you to understand when it comes to expectations. Listen to me carefully. Moses was too focused on his lack of ability and authority that he could not see that it was God who was going to empower him. The more you focus on yourself, this is why you gotta die to yourself. The more you focus on yourself, the less you're gonna see who God is. Think about graduating and you don't have a job. I mean, it's a serious issue. How are you going to pay the rent? How are you going to have food on your table? How are you going to support your family? How are you going to support your parents or whatever else? That's why that situation consumes us and we get so self-centered. That's all we think about. Once again, I'm not saying looking for a job is wrong. It's a good thing. Work and bless some people. But you're so focused on this because it's all about you. So you can't see God who's orchestrating things, who's closing certain doors, who's opening other doors, because that's where he wants you to go, and you don't even know that yet. There are things right now that God has placed some difficult people in your life. They are very difficult. And he placed them in your life, and you're thinking, God, I wish they would go away. I'm going to move. I want to do this. I want to just make sure I get out of that person's life. But I'm going to challenge you and ask you and say this. What if it's through that person and their personality and their character flaws that will help shape the very thing that you need to do what you need to do in 2017? Have you thought about that? Some of the tension you're feeling with your roommate, huh? That skill you're going to need to work with your roommate is the same skill that you're going to need when you have a permanent roommate. I'm telling you right now. If you're a horrible roommate, you're going to be a horrible spouse. No, I'm not. Because I'm in love. Love my whatever. I'm telling you right now. I'm going to tell you straight out. Roommate situation, that is who you really are, and that's what you're going to do with your future spouse. Life group, which I always tell the leaders, the way you lead life group is the way you're going to parent. So your life group member is like, oh my God, I don't know, I'm dying. And you're like, oh my God, and you drop everything, you run up to them, and they're not really dying, they were just manipulating you. You're going to be that parent where that kid is like, I'm feeling very sick. I can't go to school. Oh, don't go to school. They just played you, player. Or some of us who are very harsh. You're going to be harsh with your kids. That's why God is trying to work on you now with these things. So that in the years to come, you could be the kind of person that he wants you to be. Some of you who struggle with even low self-esteem. Some of you who struggle with your identity. Those of you who struggle with insecurities. God is bringing people and things your way so that you can address and work on these things. Because what He's going to call you to do a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, we don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But God does. And what He's going to be calling you in 5 years from now, He is zoning in on this issue because you need to do the things that He's calling you to do. And unless you address this in your heart, you're going to miss the very thing that God has. He was so focused on himself that he could not see God who was going to empower him. This was not what Moses was expecting. But how does God respond? It's amazing. God responds to Moses' objection by giving him two promises. He promises that his personal presence will go with him, verse 12. And secondly, God tells Moses that he will return and worship God on this mountain, which later, as you know, is Mount Horeb. But he will say, you'll come and you'll worship me, you'll serve me on this mountain. So here are two promises. I'm going to be with you and you're going to come back. So you're not going to get killed by Pharaoh. Nothing bad's going to happen. In fact, you're going to come back, which means you're free. And so here are these two promises that God gives Moses with the objection that he gives. But Lord, who am I? I don't know. Well, how am I going to be able to talk to Pharaoh? And what if people say, who sent me? And here's God responding. Even after these promises, Moses objects again in verse 13. And in verse 14 and 15, God reminds Moses of the name of God. This is important. God introduces himself for the first time here in Exodus chapter 3 as I am who I am. Everyone say that, come on. I am who I am. Why is this important? Because this phrase, I am who I am, was the personal name of God, or otherwise known as Yahweh. The reason why this is significant is because in the past, listen to me carefully, in the past, God always appeared in different forms of his name. Listen. It was always related to his actions or his words. That's why he would say things like, I am God the creator. I am God the judge. I am the God who is the covenant keeper. I am the God who is the faithful one. That's how he always appeared and addressed the people of God. It's some kind of attribute or some kind of trait of himself. But here, this is the first time that you see that he says, I am who I am. Which means, listen, there is no limit to my character and to my nature that I can name one particular thing. He says literally, I am who I am, which means he is everything. He is self-existent. This is very powerful. Here's Moses trying to come up with many reasons. And if you read chapter 4, he came up with several more, right? Moses thought he was so smart. I'm going to come up with a couple more. But he says, I am who I am. So which means I'm the judge. I am the covenant maker. I'm the faithful one. I'm the chesed God who loves you, who keeps his promises. I'm the forgiving one. He simply says, I am, and then he puts a blank. I am who I am. You fill in whatever you need. Whatever you need to know of who I am, that's who I am. This is one of those life-defining moments for Moses. I love what Michelle Stone said. She wrote it in her blog, and she shares about life-defining moments and how it changed her, and it helped her to have the right perspective on life. Listen to what she writes. Life-defining moments. Each of us has them, usually during a hardship or a headache. These are the events and decisions that shape the direction and focus of our lives from that moment on. These are the times when we clearly see what is most important and has infinite eternal value. These are also the times when we experience the true limitations and weaknesses each of us has as human beings. When we learn that we cannot do all, be all, know all, and control all. When we get a realistic perspective on the world and adjust our expectations accordingly. End quote. What a powerful reminder. Life-defining moments. What were some of them in 2016? It usually comes in a form of a heartache or a headache. What are some life-defining moments that will be coming in 2017? That God's trying to define your life. That you will now begin to value things that are eternal, that has value, rather than things that are temporary. And in closing, in verse 16 through 22, I'm not going to have time to read it, but you realize that the mission that God is giving him, God once again reassures him of his presence and gives specific instructions now to accomplish the task. He says, go to the elders. This is what I want you to say to Pharaoh. This is what I want you to do. And after this happens, this and this will happen. He's laying it out in these verses. And God specifically now, with the encounter that he has with Moses, laying down the expectation that's rooted in the promises of God, he's saying, this is what I want you to do. I'm just wondering, for some of us in this room, what is it that God is going to call us to do this coming year? That's going to take tremendous faith. That we might have to adjust a little bit of our expectations and realize, God, I've been trusting in myself. I've been having expectations that are my own personal dreams. It's not about me. I want to readjust it to what you want me to do. And that's kind of scary, because when you readjust it to what God wants you to do, I'm going to say this to you, and I've experienced this personally. When you readjust to what God wants you to do, it's probably going to be so much better than what you thought you were going to do. Can I get an amen from anybody who experienced that? Amen? That so often what we hold on to and what we expect from life, it's so self-centered that if we would let go and trust in God, we realize that what God has planned for us was so much better than what we thought was so good. We're going to experience that this year if we will learn to surrender and let go and trust in him. Let me give us the one thing once again, and it's simply for us to go through and experience a breakthrough. We have to trust God with what we go through this coming year. Let's have that kind of faith. Let me give us quickly some next steps. First of all, encounter God daily. Very simple. Part of my first point. I want to really encourage you to do the BRPs. I don't know how else to stress it. Part of the BRPs is doing our SOAP. And it really takes about anywhere from 15 to a 30 minute commitment every single day. Now, if you don't do it and you miss a day, it's okay. God's not going to punish you. It's kind of like when you skip a meal. You're not going to die. Some of you feel like, I'm going to die. You're not going to die. So if you miss a day or two, it's okay to just pick it up and do it again, or maybe just start from where you left off. To be able to read the word, let that come inside of you. Let that encounter you. That's how are you going to hear from God apart from his word? I want to encourage you, part of the encountering God is to abide. We've been talking about that. How do you abide? Is to have the word in your heart. And then as soon as something happens, you're admitting that you can't do this by yourself. And you believe in his promises. And you begin to pray, you intercede, you quickly pray, say, God, I'm weak, I can't do this, I need you. Or this is how I'm responding in my flesh, I need you to come. And you make a decision, you decide, this is what I'm going to choose. I want to choose God, not myself, not things that I don't want to sin anymore. I want to choose God. And then you express thanks. You say, God, thank you that even though it hasn't happened, that's what faith is all about. You're thanking him before it happens. That takes faith. To say, God, I believe that you're going to bring this to pass. I thank you in advance. Do that every single day. Do it so that it's almost unconscious. You don't even have to think about it. And you're going to be encountering God on a regular basis. Lastly, expect from God daily. Expect him to do great things. As he speaks to you, you realize you cannot do this on your own, but only God can do it. I want to close with this quick video that Nightly News, some of you know the program, but they have different stories that they like to highlight after they give the news in the evening. This is from the States. And when I saw the story, it really moved me to think, here's a person who's gone through some tremendous things, but yet somehow at the end, like God was able to carry him through. It was very touching. It really spoke to me, realizing no matter what we go through in life, when we have that kind of faith and trust and that kind of attitude of expectation and really encountering God, we can go through anything in life. So let's watch this together as we close. Let's stand together as we close. You know, I was thinking about, here's a 12-year-old kid who comes home sick. And then from that moment on, just everything just goes downhill. And it just took one person to look into his eyes and realize that there's something there. And I guess the thought that came to my mind when I first watched it was, man, if that person wasn't there, he would have been going through the rest of his life and probably in a very quick, degenerative way, probably passed away. There's no way he would have been able to go to college, drive, even get married. It was that one moment. You know, as I'm thinking about 2016 and all the good and all the bad that might have happened, and I'm not going to be here telling you to make resolutions, because like I said, sometimes resolutions can cause anxiety and all these other feelings that you don't want to feel. But all I can say is this. Whatever it is that we're expecting for 2017, it has to be rooted in who God is. And you fill in the blank. God says, I am. And whatever God is to you, and part of his attribute of who he is, that's the God you need to encounter every single day. That's the God you need to spend time in the Word and to know more of him. This is the God that you need to hear him calling to us intimately. And then to hear his instructions and to obey him instead of obeying other people. You know, all I can say is the reason why so many of us struggle in our walk with God is because we think we have a strong walk, but we don't. And that's why I think the posture we need to come to God is a little bit more humble and say, God, I don't know you as well as I thought I did or what other people think of me. The decisions I make, the things that I think about that no one knows, the things that I struggle with. Lord, I don't believe you're that strong. I don't believe that you're that faithful. I don't believe that you're that sovereign. Let's renew our minds this year. And the only way to do that is through reading the Word. I pray that God will put a hunger in each one of our hearts to read the Bible. That's his love letter to us. That's his Word. May we find strength. No excuse. I will challenge you this far. Make it a goal. I will not touch any social media before I touch the Bible. It will change your life. I will not open up any apps that will make my mind wander in so many other directions until I read the Bible. I guarantee you, you're going to read your Bible that way. Let's make these kind of commitments to God so that we're saying, God, we hunger for you, we thirst for you, we long for you, we value the things of the kingdom more than anything else. Because God has some incredible things planned for us in 2017. I don't know all the specifics, but all I know is he's going to be doing things. And I pray that we will be ready. When God speaks, we will say yes. We won't object. We won't be like, well, God, how and why and this. But we will say yes. That's how you know people walk closely with God. When God speaks, they just move. Some of us were like wringing our fingers. And like, I don't know. We go make one decision and flip it to another. I'm like, you have no clue. If you know God, you hear from Him, you will move. Because right now, it doesn't matter what other people say, it doesn't matter what other people think. What matters is what God says and what He thinks about us. And that's the thing that gives us confidence. You talk to anybody with God confidence, I'm telling you right now, they have this tight relation with God. When they hear from God, they obey. Doesn't mean they don't get scared. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's in the midst of fear, they do the right thing. They obey God. Let's be more courageous this year. Let's look ahead to all that God has called us to do. We can't do it ourselves, but let's believe in a great God. God, You said You are, I am strong. I am powerful. I am sovereign. Whatever that I am is, You fill in the blank. Let's believe it. Let's encounter Him and let's expect things of Him in that way. So Lord, I just pray for all of us in this room as we reflected on 2016 and now we're looking ahead to 2017. We realize that there's so many things that we need to posture our hearts, our minds, ourselves with, in line with You, Lord. I pray that all the mistakes and all the difficulties and hardships that we face this past year, God, not only in Your grace and Your mercy that You will use it for good, but God, somehow You will receive glory from it. And I pray, Lord, that whatever You have in store for us in 2017, Lord, sometimes it might be scary. Sometimes we might have no answers. Uncertainty. But Lord, one thing is sure. One thing we could be certain of. You will never leave us nor forsake us. And nothing will separate us from Your love. And I pray, Lord, that we will walk in confidence. May this year be a year of increasing our boundaries, increasing, Lord, just Your favor. God, we pray that this year we'll see more salvations. This year we'll see more people's lives being transformed. Lord, this year we'll see more people being set free from bondages and the things of the past. We pray that this year, Lord God, that we will see more people being reached, more campuses. Lord, there's still many more campuses here in Hong Kong that need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray for the circle, Lord, the epicenter mission. We pray, God, that we'll be able to reach the 52% of the world's population, and with Hong Kong right here in the center, I pray that You will use us for Your glory. I pray, God, that You will open doors that we have never imagined before. I pray that You will bring sovereign people sovereignly into our lives to position us to do what You've called us to do. I pray that You will multiply the resources, Lord, that we might not have right now, but we're praying that You'll multiply it so, God, that we can carry out the vision. I pray that You'll bring the right people, the people who believe in the vision, who are committed to the vision. I pray that You'll raise up more leaders and people who will serve You. I pray, Lord, that You will do the work that only You can do. May we encounter You, Lord, this year in powerful ways on a daily basis. And may we expect, Lord, great things from You, because You are a great God. Lord, give us the breakthrough as we learn how to trust You with the things that we go through. Only You can do it, Lord. I'm just going to ask us right now. Let's no longer think about 2016. Let's look ahead. Let's look forward. That's what grace is about. That it's about looking ahead to what Christ has done already, but what we have now appropriated into our lives. Let's just focus on our relationship with Christ, the relationship with people that God has sovereignly brought into our lives, whether it's our family, maybe it's our co-workers, our life group members. And let's just ask God, Lord, just one level higher. May I grow in my relationship with You just one level higher. And my love for people, just one level higher, Lord. I want to love them. I want to serve them by Your grace. And everything else will fall into place. Love God and love people. A lot of things in life will fall into place. Just focus on those two things. So I want to give you about a couple minutes. And I'm going to ask you just to lift up your own prayers to God. One level higher, Lord. knowing you, loving you, encountering you, and one level higher in loving people all around me for your name's sake. Come on, let's lift our voices, let's just pray and commit that to you.